You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
A very good evening and a very warm welcome to the only podcast that you need to listen to get caught up with the world. We bring to you everything that's happening in the world, from the worlds of business, finance, current affairs, news, politics, and even a little bit of entertainment. My name is Rakesh Sharma and you're listening to Money Control.
Editor's pick of the day.
India's April trade deficit has widened to $15.33 billion and exports have grown marginally. India's exports rose marginally by 0.64% in April to $26 billion, while imports increased by 4.5% to $41.4 billion compared to the year-ago month, according to official data released today. Trade deficit, which is the difference between exports and imports, widened to $15.33 billion in April 2019 from $13.72 billion in April 2018. Oil imports grew by 9.26% to $11.38 billion and non-oil imports expanded by 2.78%. Gold imports rose by 54% to $3.97 billion in April. Independent directors of various ILNFS companies are under the scanner of the Corporate Affairs Ministry for alleged lapses in carrying out their duties as financial problems continued to brew at the diversified group, according to sources. The crisis at ILNFS, which is estimated to have a debt burden of over 94,000 crore rupees, came to light last year after some group companies defaulted on debt repayments. Online grocery retailer Grofers today said it has raised over $200 million or over 1,400 crore rupees in funding, led by SoftBank Vision Fund. More on this story later. Well, the Hinduja brothers are back in the news because, in a latest development, the Economic Times has reported that lenders to Jet Airways and its second largest shareholder, Etihad, have approached the Hinduja group offering a stake in the grounded airline. What will the Hinduja brothers do? Previously, they had attempted to get a stake in Indian Airlines and Air India. Will this be the time that they will make an investment in the Indian aviation sector? More on this later on the podcast. Now, all of that bombast about a big leap forward in the ease of doing business index and the tag of the world's fastest growing economy, etc. There is also another report which might be a bit of a dampener. India saw the third highest outflow of wealthy individuals last year. Nearly 5,000 millionaires or high net worth individuals left the country, which is 2% of the total number of HNWIs in India, says the Global Wealth Migration Review by Afrasia Bank and research firm New World Wealth. The net outflow of HNWIs that India saw in 2018 was even faster than the UK, which is in the middle of a political turmoil owing to Brexit. Among the cities which the report says will drive growth in the next 10 years are Delhi, Bangalore and Hyderabad. Delhi would do so on the back of its well-diversified economy and strength in a number of key sectors, Bangalore on its prowess in the fields of IT and research and development, and Hyderabad on the base of its being the pharmaceutical capital of India. The Ministry of External Affairs has refused to share details on the extradition of fugitive businessmen Vijay Mallya and Nirav Modi, citing a right to information clause that bars disclosure of information which would impede the process of prosecution of offenders. In a reply to an RTI query, it said requests for extradition of Mallya and Modi have been sent to the UK government. According to a new report, India's electric mobility mission is expected to originate 10 million jobs. The Indian government is bracing up for electric mobility by assigning a special workforce, which is expected to introduce these 10 million jobs in the electric mobility industry. The Ministry of Skill Development and Entrepreneurship is formulating a program focused on design, battery, testing, manufacturing and management, and services and infrastructure skills. The Automotive Mission Plan 2026 is expected to increase the workforce headcount in the auto sector to 65 million. The smashing of a statue of Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar in clashes during BJP President Amit Shah's roadshow in Kolkata on Tuesday has set off a whodunit, where video clips are flying from both sides, the BJP and Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee's Trinamool Congress, according to a report on NDTV. Amit Shah said Trinamool activists attacked his roadshow and it was Mamata Banerjee who had the Vidyasagar bust broken as part of a conspiracy to blame the BJP ahead of the last round of voting for the national election. Trinamool reader Derek O'Brien lobbed the allegation right back and called the BJP chief dhokabaz and puke-worthy. He also complained to the Election Commission, submitted what he called video proof that the BJP was behind the vandalism. The bust was broken at the Vidyasagar College, which was on the route of the BJP president's rally. In world economy news, a report has emerged on the New York Times that the global economy was improving until, of course, the trade war between the two largest economies on earth started. That is between the United States and China. And it has been hurting both countries. In the short term, there might be some expected gains or perceived wins for America. But in the long term, it is not such a good idea. More on this later in the podcast. Netflix, much like networks in the United States, has been on a cancellation spree of late, but it has, of course, not stopped viewers from turning in. Analytics company Jumpshot provided Business Insider a list of the most popular original streaming TV shows of the year so far, and many of Netflix's recent cancellations, including The Punisher and One Day at a Time, made that list. According to this report, the most streamed shows on Netflix and other streaming services include The Umbrella Academy, Marvel's The Punisher, You, Grace and Frankie, Sex Education, Russian Doll, A Series of Unfortunate Events, Big Mouth, One Day at a Time, and Friends from College, all on Netflix. Who said reality television cannot kill? A popular British talk show known for pitting guests against each other was cancelled today after the reported suicide of a man 1 week after appearing on the program. Broadcaster ITV pulled the Jeremy Kyle show following the death of 63-year-old Steve Diamond, which sparked widespread criticism, including from Prime Minister Theresa May. On the Jeremy Kyle show, Diamond failed a lie detector test taken on the show to convince his fiancée he had not cheated on her, leading to the couple splitting up, according to tabloid The Sun. Jeremy Kyle show was, of course, ITV's most popular daytime show, attracting around 1 million viewers per episode. But it has also been the focus of criticism over its confrontational style, which often pits romantic rivals against each other and has previously descended into violence. The mental health consequences of reality TV shows has been increasingly in the spotlight in Britain, following, of course, the deaths of two contestants on another hit show called Love Island. Sophie Graydon and Mike Thalassitis were both found hanged in separate incidents, and they both appeared on Love Island. In shocking news coming out of the United States, Alabama lawmakers have voted to effectively ban abortion in the state. The measure criminalizes the procedure for doctors and makes no exceptions for cases of even rape or incest. The legislation is intended to set up a challenge to Roe v. Wade, which legalized abortion in the United States. It now moves to the desk of Governor Kay Ivey, who is a Republican. All right, let's get into some of those stories in a little more detail. We start things off with the Grofers story. SoftBank continues to pump money into Indian companies. Online grocer Grofers has raised $220 million in a round led by SoftBank Vision Fund as part of its Series F, which also saw participation from South Korean investment firm KTB Ventures, as well as existing investors Tiger Global and Sequoia Capital. This investment, which the company claims will be used to expand its supply chain operations, is one of the biggest rounds of financing to take place in India's online grocery sector. News of the fresh infusion of funds into Grofers comes just a few weeks after Alibaba-backed Big Basket received $150 million in funding. Also, back in March, Inc42 had reported that SoftBank had increased its stake in Grofers to 42% with a $60 million investment, while Sequoia and Tiger Global had also invested $1.8 million and $19 million respectively. And now, the new funding provides both companies with more firepower to battle it out for market leadership in the online grocery sector. E-commerce giants Amazon and Flipkart, which is now controlled by Walmart, have also been expanding their footprint in this sector. A Bloomberg Quint report stated that even though Grofers operates in a $600 billion market with many competitors, the company itself claimed it is prioritizing profit given the sliver of market share served by online merchants. Walmart and Amazon have been investing heavily in India because they see the country as the last unclaimed major market in the world. Last year, Alibaba led a $300 million investment in Big Basket, pushing its valuation to $950 million. A point to be noted is that according to TechSci Research, India's grocery market is projected to grow at 55% per year through 2021, making it the leading growth segment in online retail. Grofers has been one of the standout names in India's online grocery market. It started off as a hyper-local player in December 2013 and moved to a warehouse model over the last few years with a recent focus on private labels. Nearly half of Grofers' sales are from private label offerings, which will only increase further. Another differentiating factor is that Grofers does not offer fresh produce or same-day deliveries unlike its competitor, Big Basket. Albinder Dhinsa, chief executive of Grofers, explained, and I quote, "Grofers had a top line of $400 million and grew 8x in the last 2 years. We're clear about our target audience. It is going to be Middle India that goes after planned purchases and low-priced offerings," unquote. Grofers has gained traction over the last few years after the pivot in their business model. Dhinsa claims the Gurgaon-based company is profitable in Delhi and the overall business is expected to hit profitability by late 2021. Well, it's almost become like a daily bulletin about Jet Airways, but in the latest development in the Jet Airways saga, the Economic Times reported that lenders to Jet Airways and its second largest shareholder, Etihad Airways, have approached the Hinduja Group, offering a stake in the grounded airline. According to Business Today, just days after India-born industrialist brothers Shrichand and GP Hinduja were once again named Britain's wealthiest with £22 billion to their name, reports claim they were approached to buy a stake in Jet Airways. The fabulously wealthy brothers have pockets deep enough to revive Jet, which needs upwards of 15,000 crore rupees. Even as lenders are scrambling to find a suitor, the cash-starved carrier witnessed something of a mass exodus as its top management quit almost entirely in the past 2 days. CEO Vinay Dubey, as well as the airline's CFO, company secretary, and chief people officer have all put in their papers, as I told you yesterday. Furthermore, Money Control reported that on Tuesday alone, about 100 first officer pilots put in their papers. The company has also started firing its employees in overseas offices. A source close to Jet Airways confirmed a Hindu Business Line report that about 50 employees in the international offices have been asked to leave. ET reported that the Hinduja Group has not given a clear commitment about investing in Jet thus far, but began showing interest after Etihad representatives approached GP Hinduja, the older brother who heads the group. He in turn put Etihad in touch with Ashok Hinduja, the younger brother who leads the India business. A senior executive with the group told Economic Times that they will meet with Etihad executives and Jet's lenders in the coming days, but added that no date has been fixed yet. An interest in the airline space is not exactly completely alien to the Hinduja brothers, because it is worth noting that the Hinduja group was the only bidder, apart from a consortium of Tata Sons and Singapore Airlines, for Air India in 2001. A 40% stake in the national carrier was up for grabs at a time when it mostly operated international flights. The Hinduja group had also bid for 26% in Indian Airlines, competing with Videocon International. Now, Videocon International had certainly seen better days. It had tied up with Lufthansa in a venture called Hinduja Lufthansa Cargo Holding BV. ET also claimed that the group is keeping an eye out for the Air India divestment. As for Jet Airways, the once premier airline, which is all but done, grounded operations on the 17th of April after banks refused an emergency infusion of 400 crore rupees. In March, lenders had taken control of the company's board after founder Naresh Goyal and his wife exited the company. More than 60% of the airline's slots have been distributed among other operators, and half of its fleet has been repossessed by lessors. I just flew into Bangalore this morning and several of the Jet Airways aircrafts have been painted over. The livery remains much the same, but instead of where it said Jet Airways, I saw SpiceJet. I won't lie, I did feel a little bit bad. But more on this saga, the SBI-led consortium of 26 lenders initiated a bidding process to sell stake in Jet to recover some of its 8,500 crore dues. According to a Money Control report, SBI also met top officials at Adigro Aviation, the arm of London-based Adi Group. Adigro Aviation founder Sanjay Vishwanathan had earlier told Money Control that he has the backing of investors and is keen to partner Etihad Airways in turning around Jet Airways. Reports added that the lender will meet the Mumbai-based Darwin Group on the 15th of May, that is today. SBI Caps and SBI have received interest from a Russian aviation professional, Oleg Evdokimov, though not a bidder, Oleg offered his expertise to turn around the airline. He said, and I quote, "I don't want shares." The Moscow-based senior executive of VIP Class, which provides clients with first-class air travel, claimed to have the backing of aviation professionals. Oleg said, and I quote, "I've been promised help by two airlines, one from Asia and another from Africa, in plans to turn around Jet Airways," unquote. Meanwhile, Etihad, the second largest stakeholder in Jet with 24%, refused to increase its current shareholding, but added that it would invest only up to 1,700 crore rupees in the airline. Well, the trade war is back in the news this week. US President Donald Trump rolled out 25% tariffs last week, leaving Chinese producers reeling. Bloomberg reported that there's a chance such levies will be widened to all the Chinese goods America buys. Beijing responded by hiking tariffs on roughly $60 billion of American exports. CNN reported today that China's vast economy showed new signs of weakness last month, raising the likelihood of increased government efforts to stimulate growth as the trade war with the United States escalates. Key indicators of economic activity, like industrial output and retail sales, cooled significantly last month, according to figures posted by the National Bureau of Statistics on Wednesday. Industrial output, which measures manufacturing, mining production, and other sectors in China, grew 5.4% in April compared to the previous year, significantly lower than analysts expected. It was also a sharp dip from the previous month when growth came in at 8.5%. Importantly, analysts claim the slump could prompt China to take more action to boost activity as increased US tariffs take effect. Beijing has instituted several measures in recent months, like cutting taxes and increasing infrastructure spending, as economic growth slumped to a near three-decade low. Julian Evans Pritchard, senior China economist at Capital Economics, said in a research note, and I quote, "Downbeat data strengthened the case for more easing. Given budget constraints on local governments, monetary policy will probably take the lead," unquote. CNN also reported that China's retail sales growth slowed to a 16-year low last month, raising questions about consumer confidence. Sales grew by 7.2%, far weaker than analyst forecasts of 8.6%. A Bloomberg report claimed, and I quote, "Faltering credit and consumption at home coupled with a weaker global economy means China is running out of steady growth engines right when it needs them the most." The soggy data spurred expectations the government will need to boost stimulus to cushion the blow from the escalating trade war, sending Asian stocks mostly higher. The yuan was little changed, unquote. Lu Ting, chief China economist at Nomura Holdings in Hong Kong, told Bloomberg, and I quote, "The double dip is confirmed. We expect Beijing to significantly ramp up easing or stimulus measures to stabilize financial markets and bolster growth, despite the more limited policy room than in previous easing cycles," unquote. Bloomberg also estimated that China's 2019 GDP growth will be lowered by 0.3 percentage points due to the rise in US tariffs on $200 billion of imports from China. If more tariffs are introduced to cover all Chinese goods, that could cost 0.6 percentage points in the 12 months after. The U.S. Trade Representative's office released a list on Monday of approximately $300 billion worth of Chinese goods, including children's clothing, toys, mobile phones, and laptops, that Trump has threatened to hit with a 25% tariff, drawing practically all China's exports to the U.S. into the trade war. Bloomberg Economics estimates about 1% of global economic activity is at stake in goods and services traded between these two giant economies. Former Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein tweeted, and I quote, "Tariffs might be an effective negotiating tool. Saying it hurts us misses the point. China relies more on trade and loses more," unquote. He tweeted further, "As to who ultimately bears the tariffs cost, U.S. buyers may eventually switch their purchases to domestic or non-Chinese companies and pay a bit more than now. Chinese companies lose the revenues, not great, but part of the process to assert pressure to level the playing field," unquote. Well, a Trump lackey there. However, Eric Robertson, head of global macro strategy and FX research at Standard Chartered, said, and I quote, "I do think there's an oversimplification there. Certainly in the short term, if tariffs are increased across the board, the idea that there are winners and losers in this trade war, I think, is actually missing the point. Everybody loses. That's the key factor from a growth point of view," unquote. If you're going to be myopic, which I imagine is the only way Trump knows to be, sure, there might be some benefits. But from a growth point of view, which is the right view to take, everybody loses. Well, just to leave you with how angry fans are dealing with that episode of Game of Thrones, angry fans have Google bombed the show's creators so that their photo now shows up when you search for bad writers. As a way of expressing their disappointment, Game of Thrones Reddit community is Google bombing the show's co-creators, D.B. Weiss and David Benioff. The wild links, I suppose, are at it again. But before I leave you, let's take a quick look at what happened on Dalal Street today. At the end of the day, the tally looked something like this. Bulls failed to regain control on Dalal Street as bears made a comeback and pushed the index towards the 100 days moving average placed at 11,134, making a large bearish candle on the charts. At the end of day's trade, 11,157 or down 65.05 points is where we saw a Nifty 50 end at. 11 stocks advanced against a decline of 39 stocks. The BSE Sensex was down 203 points or down 0.55% to close at 37,114. We'll of course see you first thing in the morning tomorrow with a morning walk down Dalal Street and stock picks of the day. Do write into us, mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until the next time you hear from me, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This has been today's Editor's Pick, and you've been listening to Money Control.